Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Let's talk to Scott Hastings, former NBA player, and now with the Nuggets as an analyst about that. How are you, sir?
Good. How you doing, John?
What's your favorite part about coming to Portland? You come to Portland, what does Scott Hastings have to do?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. Well, I always sleep well, and I don't know if that's because I have cold beverages late at night before. I don't know. That's a good question. I will say this. I do a radio show, too, and, you know, you travel and you carry the little box and you do the Wi-Fi and blah, blah, blah. And I enjoy, to be honest with you, walking around. Denver, we get 300 days of sunshine, and I'm not complaining because I love the sunshine, but it's kind of nice when you haven't kind of seen these cool, moist, rainy days, that I don't mind them in small doses. So we down here by Pioneer Square, and I just walk around and hit a subway, go over there to the Rite Aid, grab me a little something there to drink from the Rite Aid, and come back to the room.
You're a simple guy. I like that.
You know what? I grew up in Kansas. I live a boring existence.
I was just in Kansas City, and I said to people, what's the big deal with the barbecue? We barbecue here. Then I went and had barbecue in Kansas City. Blew me away.
Thank you. Yeah, listen, I grew up in Kansas, went to school in Arkansas. There's just a handful of places, and it really truly is different. We go from here, and I know we're talking Nuggets in Portland, and, you know, after the game tonight, they leave tomorrow, or we leave tomorrow to fly all the way to Carolina, and it's a different kind of barbecue there. It's a more vinegary-based sauce, but yeah, Kansas City, Arthur Bryant's or Gates, whichever one you went to, is pretty good. If you're there a couple of days, you had to go to Stroud's because it'll be the best fried chicken you've ever eaten in your life.
I went to Joe's, the gas station.
Well, that's not bad either, but Eskimo Joe's or whatever. But if you get there again, go to Stroud's chicken, and instead of bread before the meal, they serve cinnamon rolls. Well, dude, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
Hey, so you were born in Independence, and I know that's not far outside of Kansas City, but you're probably only like 20 miles, maybe 25 miles from Lawrence. Why did you choose Arkansas over Kansas?
Well, actually, that's Independence, Missouri. Independence, Kansas is south, probably 2 hours south of Lawrence.
Okay.
So I wanted to go to Kansas. That's where I wanted to play. Every basketball kid that grows up playing basketball in Kansas at the time, anyway, always wanted to go there. Probably like Indiana, they wanted to go to IU. And I was the player of the year in high school. My team won the state championship, and I remember talking with Ted Owen and the coaches there. And in fact, Lafayette Norwood, who was Darnell Valentine, the great blazer, Darnell Valentine's head coach in high school in there, and went on to KU. Said that I was their – they had four scholarships, and I was their fifth choice. And Arkansas wanted me from the get-go. They had just gone to the Final Four with Sidney Moncrief and the triplets and went down there for a visit. The day I came back, was going to sign with Arkansas. KU decided to call and offer me a scholarship, but I'd already told Arkansas I was going, so I went to Arkansas. And it was great. I had a great 4 years at Arkansas, and Eddie Sutton, to me, is one of the great coaches in the world, and should be in the Hall of Fame.
You probably look back and don't regret anything because you go on in the NBA, you win a championship with the Pistons, you have a nice career. Do people in Kansas do they say, Scott, like, why didn't you do you get asked that a lot?
You know, I tell you a funny story. We got time. My good friend who now lives in Denver, I got four or five buddies we hang out together that went to high school, and there's like five of us, six of us now. It's kind of grown because they said, what do you mean? Like, we get together for 4 or 5 days every summer and drink beer and tell stories? I go, yeah, that's all we do. Can I come? So our party's grown from Let's see, it started off with four. Last year we were at six, and we've had as many as seven, I think. But my buddy claims that I'm the reason that Kansas won a national championship. And it's really a funny way he gets about it. I don't go to Arkansas, instead of KU. Ted Owens doesn't recruit me, and so gets fired the year after I go to Arkansas because they stunk, and they wouldn't have stunk if I'd have been there. And because KU fired Ted Owens, they then hired Larry Brown, and because they hired Larry Brown, they were able to win an NCAA championship. So his 6 degrees of separation, had they recruited me the right way like they should have, Ted Owens would have never gotten fired, Larry Brown would have never came there, and they might not have won that championship.
And that the rest is history.
I feel like I could, and then one of my daughters went to school at KU, so I feel like I have contributed to the heritage, really, and the culture of KU basketball. And then you guys got the top along and crushed this past weekend. What a fantastic game.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And tell me if this holds up, this theory, because you had Kansas playing Oregon in Kansas City. It was red, white, and blue in the arena. Everybody was there to see Kansas win. I felt like Kansas had better players, but I felt like at some point, because it was another Elite Eight where they weren't getting to the Final Four, like in the second half, early in the second half, you could feel the crowd. And I wondered if the players were looking around the arena going, we're letting all these people down. I wonder if that pressure contributed to Kansas sort of playing tight and not being able to shoot.
I think for sure in the beginning of the game it did. And then I thought in the second half, that Oregon started thinking, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap, we're going to win this, oh, crap, and they got tight.
Yeah.
And was so bad. I really do think that had KU hit one or two threes in that second half, Graham was, 0 for 7 or
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, terrible.
If he had, and he had a couple open looks, if he hits a couple threes in that second half and been interesting, I think it would have been a different outcome. But, I don't know. I think there is pressure and it goes all the way up into the pros. Tonight we can even relate it to tonight's game. I think, to be honest with you, the pressure of tonight's game is on Portland. That being said, I understand Portland has an easier schedule down the end, more home games, and Denver's got a lot more road games and all that entails. But this is still a home game, and Portland is still supposed to win it. That was a home game for Kansas, albeit not on their campus. It was a home game. They were supposed to win it, and there's meaning behind it. Now, whoever loses tonight, the season's not over. It'll be a bigger uphill challenge, obviously, for Denver, especially because of the schedules. But it's still one of those games where you're like, Portland doesn't want to lose it. I guarantee you both Portland and Denver are going to come in this game with the thoughts, we can't lose this game. And that being said, there's eight games behind it. So I think there is something about pressure. It's being able to, and the one beautiful thing, Chris, that as I've gotten older and have gone to this league, you know, first as a player and now as a broadcaster, that I am just absolutely fascinated by, because the X's and O's stay the same. You know, we put out, you know, these new different fangled, the triangle this, the Princeton that, the motion this, the penetrating kick that. And it's all been done. It's just that someone coined it, got it going a little better, and so everybody wants to do it. But it's all this is recycled stuff. I know the three-point line and the analytics stuff is adding to it, but whatever. But it's still a game, it's still basketball, and the psychology of the players. Watching Damian Lillard, and I, one of my favorite players in the league and a kid, I got to call a couple of his college games when he was at Weber State. And to see him go, and I thought as a mature senior there, and to me, a no doubt first round pick, to now the guy that, you know, went as a rookie and then keeps growing and is snubbed by the All-Star games, to who he is now, I mean, the psychology of the sport is what matters. And that, to me, more than anything, the maturity and the growth that Damian Lillard has shown is, to me, the biggest key of why. And I know they're going to see Nerk Fever, and he's come in and done all this. That's great. But to me, the maturity that Lillard has shown the second half of the season, maybe more so than any time of his career, is to me what the turnaround's been about. Because let's be honest, Portland's underachieved this year. They're yeah. supposed to win 47 games, and now they're turning it on. So people, oh, look at Portland, here they come. Well, Portland should be up there trying to fight to catch, you know, Houston for that third spot and hold off the Clippers for that fifth or whatever. That's where they're supposed to be, not down here messing around with eight.
Scott Hastings with us, former NBA player, NBA champion with the Pistons, now with the Nuggets as a analyst on radio. Scott, when do the Denver Nuggets want the eight spot? I mean, is that a goal? Do they like? Do you see it in their eyes the way the Blazers are talking about it right now?
Well, listen, I want to tell you how I feel, and I think the answer is yes. And yet, I watched him play two nights ago, and you're like, dude, this is an important game. I know LeBron's not out there, and I know James Harden's not out there, and I know Paul George is not out there, but Anthony Davis is pretty good. I mean, he gets calls too.
Yeah.
And they just didn't come and perform. And I call it fatigue, and not physical fatigue, because they're 24 years old. But it's the first time I thought I saw a team that was like, dude, how many more emotional games in a row? How many games do I have to be up for? They played two games they lost to Houston that were absolutely fabulous games, and they basically are the one possession games. They lose both of them, home and road. Then they come back and they got Cleveland, who just got in trouble for resting guys. So they said, okay, let's show the league something. Full force, come out in Denver, and Denver manhandled Cleveland. I don't know if you saw that game.
Yeah.
They manhandled Cleveland. Then they go on the road, and until the fourth quarter, basically manhandled the Pacers, pushed them all over the court. And then they come back, and all of a sudden Boogie Cousins isn't going to play, and it's like everybody, oh, this game's going to be easy, and they let down. So my hope is they learn something that, oh, yeah, we're in a playoff race and you can't do that. Once again, the psychology of the
yep.
sport. Or there are a bunch of kids going, dude, this is going to be too hard. I don't know if we can do it. They've already overachieved. They've won more games than you know, all the wise guys in Vegas thought they'd win this year. So if you had Denver in the over, you're already going to get paid out, I guess. But, you know, I think opportunities are fleeting. I think you never know with injuries. You know, what looks good in July at draft time or June at draft time, sometimes just doesn't pan out. You guys know that as well as anybody.
Yep.
sometimes great futures lie ahead of us, and then an injury goes that just all of a sudden wrecks it. Denver knows that, losing LaPhonzo Ellis, you know, at a time when they looked like they were the next team to come up. You guys with Roy, you know, all of a sudden here the guy's going to be a star for you guys forever, and then all of a sudden just the chronic knee problems. So, listen, be happy to get in. Don't worry about whether it's eight or whatever, because, listen, Portland ain't an eight seed if they get in there, and if Golden State takes it lightly, Portland can beat them. Denver can beat them if they take them lightly. So I just look at the opportunity. I hope their ideas that come in tonight and go, dude, this is going to be a blast. Portland's always a great crowd to play in front of, and one of the best fans in the league. They respect and understand basketball. Let's go. So I'm excited about it. I think it'll be pretty cool.
Now, the barbecue in Kansas City, can I duplicate that at home, or do you have to be in Kansas City or Kansas to have good barbecue?
Well, the key is the quality of the, like, do you like pulled pork? Is that what you had the best?
Oh, man, the ribs were good. I went to Q39. I went to Joe's. I was like, you know, what's the big deal? And then I got in there, and it was a brisket sandwich that they served with onion rings on top of it. And
oh, yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. See, and I was going to wait till the press room tonight and eat, and you know how crappy that food's going to be. I'm thinking maybe I need to go find some place here. Listen, it's about the quality of the meat that you get. The the time of which it marinates and then smokes, because most of it is smoked. And that way it keeps all the juices, especially when you smoke it. And I don't know if you've ever, have you ever seen a real barbecue place, how they cook it in the brick stoves? And they basically start cooking it at like at 2 a.m. so they can serve it at you know, 2 p.m. or whatever
just
the next
falling
day.
Falling off the bone.
Oh, that's unbelievable, man. Hey, well, maybe, hey, get back to Kansas City again. Get Oregon in there.
All right.
Tell me about your Final Four real fast. I think this is going to be one of the more fun Final Fours and interesting because of the stories. I love that you got your blue blood North Carolina in. And then the other three teams, some of the greatest stories, you know, whether it's coaches or players or last performances or, you know, 78-year championships ago, you know, whatever it might be. I think I'm excited about tonight, but I'm excited about next weekend, too.
All right. Scott Hastings, thank you, sir.
All right, go Ducks.